Well, all right. We are back for After Hours. This is After Hours number 28, which I never really count. The episodes that we have on the After Hours show, but 28. Wow, Mr. LAGN, what can I do for you, sir? Yeah, this is kind of a really surprise episode. Was not planning on doing After Hours tonight. Pretty much decided in the last couple minutes of the main Sports Cards Live show that we just wrapped up with Paul Lesko. Had a great time with Paul. The guy follows all the legal proceedings in the hobby. So if you didn't tune in, check that out. But boy, was that ever fun. And so I thought, you know what, we'll give it a shot. There's no guests lined up. But if anybody wants to join and you have solid Wi-Fi, reliable Wi-Fi, you've got a camera, and you want to come join me on the show right now, just mention that in the comments, and I can share the link, which will allow you to enter the StreamYard studio. That is where we are, and you can come up. So I'm actually going to do that right now. Let me copy the link. All right, here we go. So, hello, we got Chris back. Super Bad, welcome, welcome. Now, I'm just going to make a quick little banner, and I'm going to put that up right now. So, there it is. If anybody wants to join the show, and I somewhat know you, because it'd be a little awkward if we haven't met before, or you've been on the show before, anything like that, or you're a regular viewer, please do dial in with that link right there. And we will see what happens. We will go from there. Taking a page out of Carlos's book, which is putting the link out there and just kind of crossing your fingers and hope that it all works out. Allowing randos to join a live stream. Who does that? You do, Carlos. You do. Ayo Rhino, good evening to you. Hagen John, good morning from Germany. Great to have you from Germany. Welcome to the show. We got hockey. We got behind the tank. Some interesting news. I had three orders pop from PSA. They're being so tough with their distribution of PSA 10s right now. It'll happen. Greg, good evening. I am well, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. I hope you are well too. So what got me sort of, excited about doing another, doing a second show here for the evening was, and I forget who mentioned it on the last show, but mentioned music cards, which have been something I've been excited about now for, I guess, about a couple of months. And so I thought, okay, you know what? I mentioned maybe I'll show them on After Hours tonight. It was Mike Zier. Are they being tougher or just more cards being created? Could be both. But I think it was you that mentioned that. And so being the music cards, and I've got my first load of them in. I found a seller on eBay, reached out to him on Facebook, and we've done a couple of deals. I've received two packages now. The first package was like 27 or 28 cards, and the second package was, I believe, it's 8 cards. And so I have them all here. Check it out. And they're all graded, by the way. So there is my stack of slabs. And it's not just music. It's some music and some Hollywood. And it's basically, I see you there, Carlos. We got Carlos dialing in. It's basically what I consider to be goats of those genres, being music, Hollywood, that sort of thing. And anyway, we'll talk about it a bit more. Yeah, it was you, Mike. It was you. Jay Sutt, I started picking up music cards. Yeah, and I've seen other people talking about them too. Got It Sports is back. Good to see you. DeWadine, I bought a Tracy McGrady RC PSA 10 Topps Chrome, going up slowly unnoticed and graded Chrome. Considering what? Good. Sounds like a good buy. Congratulations. All right. I'm going to, we're going to bring up Carlos right now. We're going to go widescreen. Carlos in the house. Welcome, Carlos.
How's it going? Figured turnabout it's fair play. You pop on my stream every now and then, so I figured I'd pop in here. It's been a while for After Hours.
I know. Yeah. You were, I think, weren't you my first guest ever?
I was your first guest ever on After Hours, and I was a couple of more times in like the first 10 episodes or so. So if you go back to the early archives of After Hours, I'm there a little bit.
Right on. Well, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining. Mr. LAGN, did you get the egg card? No, I did not get the egg card, and I do not plan to, unless I want to donate to charity and they do go in that direction, then maybe I would, because it would be going to a good cause and the card would just be the fun mechanism for doing so. Terry Fortune. We're not going 5 hours like Carlos does. I promise you that.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I, like Jeremy, I always have a set plan of when I'm going to end it, and I end it exactly when we plan.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure he does. Sure he does. No Twisted Sister Holo Rare. I wasn't lucky enough to pull one of those. But yeah, and he's here because he is Carlos. That is his name. Because I'm Carlos, this is his YouTube channel. So, okay. Now, I do want to go through this music stuff because it's something that I've really been enjoying as of late. And, you know, I did mention, I forget where I mentioned it, but I did say, you know, I'll probably go through it and show some of these cards on After Hours. But I just want to go through the history of these cards and myself and why I'm suddenly interested in them and why I'm excited about them. And really, it comes down to the fact that, you know, I'm a collector of cardboard. I collect all the sports. I collect the secondary sports, if you will. Not to any major extent, but I've got some boxing cards, among other things. And I discovered these music cards. I don't remember when it was exactly, mid-January maybe. And I don't even remember where I first saw them. Maybe someone showed something on an Instagram story or something. And I went and I looked. And the first guy I looked for was Mick Jagger. Just came to mind. So I found this card, which I thought, and it actually hasn't arrived yet. It's at my US shipping address still, but it's going to be here in the next couple of weeks. And I bought this Mick Jagger card. And I do want to show you guys what it looks like, because it's kind of the card that's now cost me money and has led to me owning, you know, probably close to 40 of these of cards within this music/Hollywood genre. And the fact of the matter is, why all of a sudden? I didn't know these things existed. I wasn't even aware of them. But look at this. Here it is. I just found it. This is the first card I bought. 1966 Dutch unnumbered Mick Jagger set 3 group 1. So these are cards that were distributed in the Netherlands. And there's also the set from Sweden, which I think carries the moniker Samlersaker, which I think means chocolate bar.
I was about to ask if it had variant backs. In the hockey realm, they had similar things with the old Semic cards. They would have different backs depending on the country.
Right. So with these, most of the cards I've acquired, the backs are blank and most of them are hand cut. I believe they're hand cut off of the box of gum that they came out of. Now, I don't know this for sure, but that's kind of what I think I know, but I don't know for sure. Anyway, this Mick Jagger card, the reason I love this card is I love the fact he's holding a cigarette in his hand and he's looking right at the camera. He looks super young and it's just anyway, I bought this. It's a PSA 4.5. I bought the card on eBay. I don't remember if it was a buy. Yeah, it was a buy it now or best offer. I made an offer and the offer was accepted. And I still can't wait to receive it because I now have added to the collection, as I just showed, this many more cards.
Now, are these the same series or different series?
They're all sorts of different series. Most of these are from the Dutch series, the various Dutch series. Okay. Series plural. So I'm going to show them. And this is the first time that I've done it. And, you know, I kind of at the beginning, I'm like, I don't know why no one talks about these. I don't know why I've never seen them before. I just never looked for them. But it makes sense to me because, and I got it, you know, this is one of these sort of sensitive areas where you have to be careful as someone who does live stream, someone who creates content. I think we always have to be responsible and transparent in what we're doing so that, you know, just so that we can't even be accused of trying to hype up something that we own. And so I'm just going to tell it how it is. I started buying these things and I only told a couple of close friends about it because I didn't want to seem like I was hyping something. But now that I have a bunch and I'm showing them, it's like, okay, wait, now are people going to interpret that as, oh, he's hyping cards he has? Well, fact of the matter is I love these things now. I love them. And maybe when I show you them, you'll be like, yeah, those are cool. I think they're cool too. Maybe some of you are going to go start looking for some of these. I don't know. If you do, I mean, just enjoy the fun with me. But I'm going to continue to buy them. I'm going to continue to round out the collection and add more of these caliber of celebrities to my collection. But at the end of the day, I don't know why they're so affordable, because you'll see what I'm, I don't know, maybe I'm out to lunch here and I'm just going to enjoy these myself and nobody else will care. I don't know, but I am seeing some other content creators talk about them. For example, on Instagram, there's the P. Ryan collection account. He does lives pretty regularly. He's had a couple times where he's shown them and I've been like, oh, great. Patrick Ryan's showing them. People are going to go, and I'm going to have to spend more money to get these. The price is going to go up on these things because he's showing them and he gets like, he's got 1,500 people to watch his live. So that was, he's talking about them a little bit. And then at the Dallas show this weekend, if any of you follow on Instagram, the Investicard account, which is with Edward Siegel, Eddie, who was my guest on the show about a month ago. Like I'm watching his content right from the Dallas show today. And all of a sudden he shows one of his showcases and he says out loud, he says, and don't sleep on music card guys. And he's got some of the same cards I've got from the same series. I'm like, there it is. This thing's going to blow up now. I'm just glad I bought about 40 cards before people really know about it. But anyway, so that's kind of where it's at right now. And, you know, for me as a collector, and I'm a collector, I'm also an investor, I don't hide it, but I'm a collector, you know, I've been a collector my whole life, and my collection is, I don't want to say it's complete, but it's pretty broad and comprehensive to the point where I'm kind of ready for something new. And this, out of nowhere, hit my radar, and I feel like I really enjoy it. So I'm gonna show some cards. Carlos, I don't mean to do all the talking. You join me. Anything you want to jump in with before I start showing some cards?
No, I think one of the things that you're referencing there is kind of the Gary Vee problem, because once you start getting into a category that maybe hasn't been explored as much, part of what you're talking about there is that if it is something obscure, that's probably part of the reason a lot of people didn't get into it, and now there's a whole segment now that's just looking for another thing. So instinctively, the moment you inform somebody of a thing that exists, the possibility of it being quote unquote hyping is automatically there. It's just by default. You can just be simply informing somebody. You don't even have to have it. You could point to a book and say, this thing exists. And that could be hyping it in the right venue if you've got people who are watching and listening.
Which we do, you know, we do. And so if that happens, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, Carlos. Am I supposed to apologize to the skeptics and the critics and say, I'm sorry for hyping these cards, but I'm really just sharing my joy of them. I don't really care if anybody goes out and buys them, and I'm comfortable with the price I paid for them. So if other people get into it and they go up in value, so be it. But hopefully if that's going to be the result of somebody watching tonight, I just hope you enjoy it and, you know, buy what you like, collect what you like. That's what I'm doing. So, but before I show some cards, I want to go to some comments here. Let's see, Mr. LAGN, any pickups? Yes, I'm going to show several. Jay Sutt. Yeah, we already mentioned you started picking up music cards. Now there's different, I guess, eras of music cards. There's the vintage and then there's the modern stuff. So I've opened up some modern cards on the show, the Pro Set Superstars cards. And I actually bought some packs of Michael Jackson from Mike at Eastridge, this pack here. And it's funny, this is still sealed. I just think the wax wrapping is really cool, but the gum is in there. You can sort of see it's kind of thick, but listen, the gum is like in crumbs.
Well, at this stage, most of those have started to disintegrate. So yeah,
right. It's I think this is from. Does it say on here what year it's from?
If it's from Thriller, it'd be like 83, 84. Wouldn't it be something like that?
Yeah, I think it's right around there, early like 80 to 85 in that area somewhere. So yeah, but I picked these up just because they were cool, and I think I paid Mike like $2 a pack or something. Like, why not? Just fun for what it is. And then I also bought. So the guy that I bought the cards from is out of one of the Carolinas. And I saw him on eBay and I'm like, hey, this guy's got like 40 cards that I want. And I wanted to, you know, get a better deal. So I found him on Facebook, reached out, and we ended up getting on a phone call and we went through all of his cards. And I said, yep, I like that one. I like that one. I basically went shopping with his eBay store, but over the phone. And so we did a deal. And then he said to me, he goes, you know, there's this guy in wherever in Europe who's got this set of 1987 Panini Smash Hits. The back looks like this. It's a 200 card, or I don't even know if they're, I think they're stickers, a 200 sticker set. He goes, okay, the guy's got it on for like $80. You should buy that. So without even thinking, I went and I just bought it because he listed off a bunch of the bands and musicians that were in the set. And I went through this set yesterday. It's 200. And I pulled out about 50, 40 something of the cards. And they were worthy to me of top of sleeve and probably top loader. And, you know, they're from, like I said, they're from 1987. But they're, you know, they're Panini, which I think is cool too. So I've got, you know, the ones that I think are kind of cards, if you will, that I'm happy to add to my collection. I've got, you know, there's Queen, you know, Run DMC. I just think these are really cool. This one's awesome. Like, look at that. Ozzy Osbourne, like in full pose. Like, if you're a music fan, a rock fan, why don't you want one of these? And I've kind of, with talking about it with some of my friends, I've said, like, you know, sports fans collect, we can collect game used memorabilia, we can collect pennants, we can collect hats, jerseys, but a lot of us collect cards. Music fans, which I think everybody's a music fan in the world, and I think I mentioned this earlier, I said, yeah, Carlos will probably contradict me, say not everybody's a music fan. There's
probably I don't think the contradiction won't come from the music fan part. The contradiction will come from the idea, and actually we touched on in the last live stream, was a music fan, there is music paraphernalia they would collect. Like, there is, right, certain
concert, like, t-shirts, ticket, yeah, stubs,
yeah, they might not vinyl. They might not run the cards, though. It's one of those things where, like, it's another option if you really are hard set on it. But, like, I'm a fan of a band. I buy a shirt, I buy the CD, maybe I buy the vinyl.
Right.
Do I need the other thing? Maybe, maybe not.
It depends on you as a collector and what you like.
Correct.
But the same thing could be said for, I think the same thing could be said for sports and sports cards. Just, and it's actually factual. Just because you're a sports fan, you may be happy having your ball cap from all your favorite teams, and that's enough. You may not need to collect cards, and a lot of people don't. So to me, I thought to myself, you know, music fans who may also collect sports cards or anything else, why wouldn't they be collecting these cards? And I don't know what the community is like. I don't know how many people are into it, but my dealer out of North Carolina, I think we talked about 2 weeks after the first purchase. And he was like, he goes, as soon as you bought those cards off me, he said, everything is selling on my store. The prices I'm getting, I've never seen before. He goes, this thing is starting to blow up. You got in at the right time. I'm thinking, I just got into, like, it was like 2 weeks ago, I bought these cards from you. Yeah. He goes, you just beat the rush. I'm like, whoa. Lucky me. But so obviously there is a community of these, but at the same time, the population of these vintage cards that I will show soon are very low across the board. They're just very low. So I see value in that. I see potential in terms of the investment value because of the low pop and because of the goatness of the subjects that I am personally collecting. Now, I have purchased some cards of some non-goats because I love them, but I'm also, you know, I've always liked the Beatles, the Rolling Stones. I have no problem adding pieces from those two particular legendary music bands. So, but a couple more just from this more recent, like there's Billy Idol, you know, like ZZ Top with the beards. I don't know, you know, they're George Michael, you know, these are Bono. A young Bono, 1987. Like, I don't know. I think they're cool. Now, I'm not going to go and get these all graded because I don't know that, you know, that's what I need. But, and they're more modern. But I also want to show, so I did open up one pack of these Michael Jackson cards. And I kept two cards that were worthy of top loader for me. One is this one here. Just says Michael on it. The back, very simple. But it's card number one. I thought, well, that's kind of cool. If there's because all the cards in this set are just Michael Jackson. It's kind of funny. They're just different poses. Yep. So I kept that one. I kept the other ones too, but I mean, I actually separated them and I'll probably scan them and add them to my PC that way. And then this card here, which the only reason I kept this is because the gum is intact and still stuck to it. Still stuck to the card. I have about four cards with gum stuck to them. And I just think that's really cool. So I kept those two.
Let me ask you a question. When you mentioned earlier with this Panini stickers, and you said that you're not really inclined or interested in sending a bunch of them in, this kind of plays into that PSA price increase from the other week. If PSA still had its bulk submitting and you could do it for $6 or $7 or even $8, would you send a couple of them in?
I'd send all of them in for that price, 100%. Yeah.
That's just one of the things we were kind of chest chatting about, because I do think that that plays in a little bit into kind of a PSA's thinking as well. It's not that they don't like money. It's just that they know that for that price, you'd take a flyer and just send a stack of them. Whereas right now you'd be like, not really worth my time.
It's just not worth the capital investment to pay whatever it is per card when, you know, but if these things blow up in value and it makes it more worthwhile, then sure I will. I mean, you know, I have to take finances into account here when you're spending what will end up being, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars on grading fees. So yeah, Mike, I like this comment. I got a Swedish Queen PSA 6 card. It's really cool. Thanks for the tip mention. You're welcome. Really cool. It's funny because I've seen more and more, not like a ton, but like a half a dozen people show some music cards since I got into them. And I'm like, oh, I wish I grabbed that card. I wish I grabbed that one, you know?
So you sure we don't want to upgrade your level of influencer? You sure you don't want to start shifting that now?
What did you call it on your live stream? There was a term you used.
So for like- the question was Joe was looking for the Mount Rushmore first. So we were starting off at the top tier, and I said, I felt there were a couple of slots that I was comfortable with, like the first three slots. The number four is a little bit fluid. I could see some room for somebody to get in there.
So the biggest influencers being Gary Vee.
Right now,
Jeff Wilson from Sports Card Investor.
I put Golden in there just because of the profile he's got right now. I didn't put Jeff. I actually left him off because I thought about his – it's not that he doesn't have reach. It's that does the reach then lead to actionable? Because just because he put something out there, because one, the test right now is the select cards. He did a video where he specifically was promoting select cards. And then the question that I had was, did you guys notice any big move in select cards? Because he literally showed a whole case and made a whole argument. And he's not the first person to make the argument for select. He's probably the biggest audience person who's made that pitch. And I haven't seen the shift in select. There's been some movement, but it had been going for a while. So it's not like there was sudden market shift. Now, if Gary Vee goes in there and puts in a picture select and puts a stack of them, you would see at the very least, you'd see a temporary spike. And you'd actually see that spike.
Yep. AZ Brothers, after hours with a guest. We got a guest. Thank you, Carlos, for joining.
No worries.
Superbad says, this is better than sport group breaks. Gamble free. Yeah, I got to think so. Hockey. Jay Lee should get those old Coho gloves, Gray. Those are Timu Solani game-worn gloves, by the way. Mike Zier, what does he say? Hey, not hyping, it's informing. I've been in cards for 35 years and never heard of them, so I had to get one. Not hype. That's, Mike, I've been in cards for 35, I've been in cards, anyway, 35 plus years, and I'd never heard of these things. It's like, I wish I heard of them earlier. I would have been buying them raw and getting them graded myself, for sure. Hockey. Apparently, Carlos has a hater out there. Some commenter on Flipping Steve's live stream called Carlos a geek. Carlos is a treasure to the content hobby. Great insights.
Now, I saw those comments because they're from a little while ago. I love this, but there's two problems I have with it.
Can I bring up the next one?
I saw it. It's like, but only one? This is Carlos, so disappointing.
Okay, Carlos, get your thick skin on. Carlos equals bad takes and low viewers, egomaniac, narcissist.
So first of all, the second statement is 100% true. But the first statement is like, well, bad takes is relative. You're going to have to make a better take then. And second, low viewers is like, well, what skill are we using?
More than you used to have, right? Okay.
But the thing is, I think this is probably one of the people I blocked from my thing previously. So it's like, that's why I say I got more than one. Because otherwise, I'm like, who the hell's JJ? I don't know. The point is that I always love when somebody tries to like troll somebody who say low viewers. It's like, compared to what? This is a niche genre, dude. like the whole genre is low viewers. In the scale of YouTube, Jeff Wilson has low viewers. So what scale are we using?
What you're saying is it's all relative. That is fair.
It's 100% relative.
Let's keep going. Thank you for the comment, JJ. Hockey. Jay Lee, if you have everything you want, does that mean you are quitting the hobby and finding a new hobby? No, hockey. I am one of these guys that will just find new things to collect within the hobby already, like what I found with music and entertainment cards in 2021. In 2018, I found 90s inserts and basketball cards was kind of my new thing in 2018 or 19. Lucky for me, I got in, you know, before that blew up. And I'm just a guy that loves cardboard. Like, I don't know how else to put it. And not all cardboard, but if it looks nice, if it just the printing is nice and the subject matter I like you'll see some of these cards I picked up. I'm going to show them soon, I promise. And we'll take it from there. But no, I'm certainly not finding a new hobby. I will always find a way to be involved in this one. Greg Nova says, Carlos, we're all adults. We can make our own decisions. That is for sure.
That's pertaining to the influencing thing, which I agree. I agree with Greg as well on this. But one thing I'll point out is that, but we know influence is a thing. Like, that's not me estimating the people. So Greg says we're all adults who can make our own decision. In theory, yes. But then influencers would have no sway over anybody, and then people could say whatever, and nothing would happen. If that was true, then I'd love to see it.
I think a lot of influencees are influenced because, like, I was influenced by whoever showed me that first music card, and I was like, sure, didn't know it existed. Sure. I've been informed. I'm going to go investigate, research, and then pounce. And that's exactly what I did. I pounced. Sure. If you were watching any of these items that I bought in the guy's eBay store one day, the next day, 25 of them were gone. They were just no longer available. I cleaned them out that night. And he's become a viewer of the show. He knows about the show. He watches it now. David, if you're watching, good evening. Happy to have you.
Yeah. Also, one quick thing as well.
Yeah.
Influencer isn't necessarily a negative connotation. We always give it a negative connotation, but it can be, it's a neutral term. It is a neutral term. It can be positive or negative.
It's negative if you use it to your own benefit and advantage. If you're using it to manipulate and then benefit financially or otherwise, it's certainly negative if you're doing it that way. But if you're doing it out of just because of who you are and what you love, as I'm going to say I'm doing, if I'm an influencer, then it just is what it is and deal with it, everybody. I'm just going to do what I'm doing and that's that.
Yeah. I'm just making the statement because the word is used with a negative connotation traditionally.
No, I agree.
I want to make clear it is neutral.
I agree with that. And influencees, like talking about Jeff Wilson from Sports Card Investor, I do believe he's an influencer simply because he has such a big audience and he's got a captive audience who are relying on him for information that I think they're using to make some decisions. Nothing wrong with it. It's just part of being a part of putting yourself out there as Carlos and I are right now. So nothing wrong with that. But the one that I want to talk about more are the influencees like myself. I've been influenced to buy things and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's just, it's more of a consequence, a situation. So yeah. Okay. Let's keep going through the comments. Dave Kaplan, good evening to you. Hello. Hello. Dave Kaplan has an amazing Connor McDavid Ultimate RPA. Out of 10 available right now that will end up on eBay one of these days, I believe. God Sports, just buy what you like and don't worry about it. I agree. Hockey Guy Smash Hits has a bunch of nice names. So I'm going to use that because as a quick segue here. So I showed off these 87s, the full set of 87s that I bought. I didn't show them all. I showed a few. But I have an 86 from the Panini that came from my dealer. And this card I'm going to show you guys right now, the first one I'll show you, because it's the most modern of all the music entertainment cards I bought. And this is a 1986 Panini Smash Hits Collection, number 96. One of the goats of all time in music, I believe. You guys are going to love this. Madonna. Okay? Madonna. And now this is an oversized slab because these are just a little bit bigger than regular cards, so they don't fit in the regular PSA slabs. But this slab, although I'm not a fan of huge slabs, I have a Joe Namath rookie. I have a Lou Alcindor rookie. I have a 64 Topps Gordie Howe, which are all tall boys. So they're the same size slab. So this will just go in that pile of cards.
How much bigger is it than a normal card?
Pardon me?
How much bigger is it than the normal 2.5 by 3.5?
Just a little bit. Barely.
That's what I mean. It doesn't look like it's that much bigger.
Barely.
Okay. I thought so.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they would need the big slab then because they can fit the like 55 Bowmans and 53 Topps in like a regular size slab.
And so just for that. Just to make that comparison, I'll show you the second most recent card I purchased, which is a 1977 Monty Gum Punk, which is this. I don't know if this band is punk, but there's an argument that they could be. Kiss.
Okay.
The full band, Gene Simmons with a tongue out, PSA 8, 1977. And the back is blank. And this card wasn't expensive. It was one of those cards where I was shopping through his store. I'm like, give me that Kiss card too. It's cool. Like, whatever, 20, 30 bucks. I don't remember what I paid, but it wasn't much. And I just thought, that's awesome. That and Kiss. I mean, I used to have those four, I forget what they're called. I had the four album set where you had each guy in their makeup on the separate album cover. I had those in the 80s. My stepdad managed a record store, a Discus in the 80s, and used to get some of the sample albums from him. And I know we had all four of these. Really cool. So anyway, I'll show a couple of music cards. There's the Madonna, again, a bit bigger. To me, Madonna is worthy of my collection, 100%. More comments in the meantime. Hockey, I was looking at that set last week. 90s hockey collector, good evening to you. Dave Kaplan asked, did you get any wrestling cards? I have not dabbled in wrestling at all. If I would, the only card I would really be interested in is Hulk Hogan. He's the guy that I remember the most. I was never I was a fan of wrestling in the days of the Iron Sheik. And I can't remember all that. I mean, back in the AWA days, Carlos, you remember the AWA?
I actually do, yeah. Not my time, but I've gotten a chance to see a little bit on the WWE Network in the past.
So that's when I was watching wrestling, when I was probably 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old type of thing. And then when WWF became a big thing and Hulk Hogan was all and Honky Tonk Man and what's his name? Rowdy Roddy Piper. Like, these are the guys that I remember. So Hulk Hogan would be welcome into my collection, but I don't have any wrestling cards at this point in time.
Yeah, I think the Hogan 82 is right now the one that's really gone off quite a bit. And that's the one where that Hogan would have been the AWA Hogan, I believe, because Hulk Hogan as the gimmick started, I believe, in the AWA.
Okay.
So it would have been around that time period. Just a little
hockey guy. If there were music cards in music stores, people would likely buy them. Cards are super niche. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, my point wasn't that no one would. My point is that some people would be interested. It depends on your level of fandom. That's why I use the t-shirt example. Some people like a band enough to buy a shirt.
Right.
And maybe an album. But then beyond that, they're like, okay, no, like, I bought the shirt.
Ticket stubs are cool. I have all my ticket stubs from the old days still. Always kept them. Yeah. Bret Hart, greatest wrestler of all time. Respect. Hockey guy, I have a Bret Hart rookie on ComC in my stash. Very nice. Hockey says Jay Lee is a market mover. I don't want to be a market mover. I don't mind having a, I don't know, I think I mentioned on Carlos's stream, like, just a very subtle level of influence. I do not want to have to look over my back and make sure everything I say isn't going to be construed as moving as manipulation. That's a fear. That's a legitimate fear I have, and I'm sure other content creators do too, I would think. Hockey, not sure people would want to own Michael Jackson these days. I've definitely thought about that, but I'm still willing to.
I think the window has passed. I think there is still a segment that would have some stigma on it, but I'll be honest, after he died, I think a lot of people are like, well, he's dead.
He paid the ultimate price.
Yeah, so the people who are still fans of him, I think, are still going to be fans of him. And then the people who don't like him, well, then you're not going to like him anyway. So it's not going to make a difference.
I like Bob Lewis as Carlos after hours, slumming it, I see.
Bob would know about slumming it. Everything he comes on drops down a peg or seven.
Just bring it down a notch here.
Bob would appreciate, if I do slum it here for you, Bob would appreciate that. He does it everywhere he goes.
Hockey, remember to Vegas Dave's comments over a month ago, how time flies in the hobby. Everyone has forgotten his comments. Thought Interrupter, Kurt Cobain, Lane Staley, Scott Weiland, the big ones to go after now. I mean, I think Kurt Cobain, like, I didn't have any thought of him yet.
I think Nirvana really is a big one.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they had that influence on the grunge movement. Ironically, his death helps because they never had the chance to really make a bad album.
I'm just doing a quick eBay search on Kurt Cobain and PSA to see if anything comes up in a card. You're going to find all sorts of of authenticated autographs, but are you going to find any cards? Not sure that he had any.
Yeah. I'd be curious if there'd be something with Kurt or at least with the band, because that's a possibility too.
Dexflow says, with non-sports cards getting big like Marvel and Star Wars, do you think AFA graded action figures go up? I do.
No reason
why. Callie Hilo. What do you think with Blake Griffin rookie cards? I think nothing of them, to be honest. I don't follow Blake Griffin at all.
I think he had his time. He had his moment where he was super hot because he was super athletic and he was a good, and he did the thing with the dunk contest and a couple of things where he jumped over the car, and it was he was an exciting player for a little while, but I think that a lot of that bloom has gone off that rose.
Good. Greg Novus. Cool music cards, but unlike sports where we can determine GOATs by titles as appearances, MVPs, music is subjective. You might think Queen is the GOAT, and for me, it's Fleetwood Mac. That's fair, but I disagree, Greg, with a comment that we can't determine it because there are awards handed out. There is all-time plays on streaming services. There are platinum albums, gold albums, you know, sales, overall sales. I actually think it's quite quantifiable, so I do not agree with the comment, Greg, but I think it's but I certainly agree it's subjective.
There's no question. Can I ask a question?
Let me just finish the thought. There's no doubt at all that it is subjective. I mean, I'm not a fan of country music. I don't get down to classical either. But I think that if you look at overall popularity, how, you know, while it's subjective, you're going to have a lot of people that have the same subjective thought, and that's going to cause sales. Concert sellouts, ticket sales, stream downloads, all those sorts of things, which is just the way you can look at it to measure. But you aren't going to have them, you know, unless it's a rap battle. These guys don't compete against each other. Carlos, please. Mm-hmm.
So what I was going to ask was, I think a lot of the metrics you came up listed off there are very good ones. But I think with music, it does get a little bit tricky because when you do awards and you do number one hits and you do gold albums and all that, so. Madonna is a fairly easy choice in the sense that she's got this career. She was at the apex. Her apex was huge.
And a game changer
continues
too.
She continues to be a big name, obviously. Now, question. Where do you then put her in comparison to somebody like Cher? Again, a one-name person, long career. She had number one hits in 4 or 5 decades, which Madonna has not done. But she also had, you know, top records. She was also famous on TV. She also won awards in movies.
So I almost bought us, Sonny and Cher. Yeah. I almost bought a Sonny and Cher card the other day because I remember growing up and my mom and dad watching Sonny and Cher on TV. That took me back to literally the house we lived in till I was 6 years old. That took me back to those years of my life. I have very vague memories in our basement with that 70s decor and watching Sonny and Cher literally in the 1970s, like this would be 1977, 78 in there. Yeah. So I almost bought that card. But to your question, Carlos, I put Cher right alongside there. I mean, her performance in the movie Mask was excellent. I remember that to this day. She's an all-time entertainer. When I, you know, I'm going to use the term GOAT tonight for the, just to have a term to explain where these artists fall for me. For me and with my subjective outlook, if they don't fall there for Carlos or anyone in the chat, that's okay. It does. They don't have to. But, you know, Janis Joplin is an all-timer. Cher, as you said, an all-timer. I'm going to show some other all-timers here. Let's just get through a few more comments. So I'm going to skip the ones that are just talking about Carlos, though, for the most part here. Sharpshooter, love music, Jeremy, especially rock, but the cards have no sentimental value to me. I personally didn't grow up chasing music cards. Therefore, very little interest. Totally fine. More available for me. That's how I see that. Hockey guy, Kiss has at least one kind of punk influence song I can think of. Right on. Got cool card. I'm glad you see that way too. Carlos looks bored looking at music cards. Well, he chose to come on. Carlos, you're free to leave at any time, but I hope you stick around.
I'll quickly comment on that one. They're not my main exciting thing, but I'm always interested in the thought process behind it. So the thought process behind it is always going to be interesting to me. That's why I like to listen to it.
Yeah, I get that for sure. Robert Dudek just bought some Samlersaker ABBA cards. ABBA's another band I used to listen to with my next door neighbor who I had a crush on when I was, you know.
And I would say they had a huge apex. That's why I asked the question about longevity versus apex. I'm just thinking about when I was doing those two comparisons. To your point, they both can qualify in that GOAT category. But Madonna's apex, when she was at her absolute peak, was higher than Cher's apex. But Cher's career has spanned 40 years. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good. And Madonna's she's getting there too, right? Well, she's slowed down now. You haven't heard much from her lately, but the impact she had on music and just kind of pushing the boundary. Thank you. Yep. She pushed the boundary pretty good. I mean, she was taking off clothes, that kind of thing. It was somewhat new and a lot of parents weren't happy back in the day. Okay, a few more comments here. I would have figured Jeremy would want to nick Bockwinkel card because it was, I don't even know. Nick Bockwinkel.
Nick Bockwinkel is a good one.
It's
a
barely good one. Remember a very vague recollection of that at all.
Very good.
I character. Live in Calgary, so I remember it only because my friends talk about it. I moved to Calgary in 2002 and people were talking about it back then. Daniel, my man, says any U2 cards. I did just show a Bono here. Let's find the Bono again because the Bono's one of my favorites. And he, here we go, another all-time great. But there's Bono right there in a 1987 Panini Smash Hits sticker. Pretty cool. Card number 168. I think there might be, oh, yes. And then here's the whole band card. So you got the Edge in there. The other two guys, who's Larry Mullen, Adam Clayton. I'm reading them from the back now. But here's another one. I mean, this guy's got legs, right? Bruce Springsteen, young Bruce Springsteen.
Yep.
I don't know.
In the 80s, that's why I say music's interesting because some artists have these really long careers. Some of them have long careers where like they're far off their apex, but the fans still love it. So if they go do a tour, they'll still draw without any issue. But it'll be like, okay, so when was the last hit? 1985.
So, but the other thing is that music never dies. Music plays and plays and plays. So, if your mother grew up listening to Duran Duran in the 80s, you're probably listening to it in the 2020s if you're ever in the car with your mother type of thing. Music never dies. And people are still listening to music that was composed decades and decades ago, which I think is a benefit to the genre of collecting. I think I just showed the Prince card, another kind of legend, if you will. I mean, I could keep on show. Here's another Madonna from this series. Not the prettiest card, but still a neat outfit she's wearing. Kind of neat. Another Madonna's got like four cards in this set.
I believe
there's another one. Nice, just a portrait. Another shot of Madonna. Who's this? Yeah, Cyndi Lauper. And this one's funny, Carlos. Don Johnson made the set because I guess he put out some music album back in the day.
Well, in the 1980s, I would laugh if there was an Eddie Murphy card.
There isn't.
Because he tried to make music. He attempted
it. He did. Yeah. My girl wants to party all the time. That was it.
Yeah.
There's a Janet Jackson. You got some Elton John. I mean, this set is filled with legends of music, like in all musical genres, a couple of Michael Jacksons. Like I might pick a couple of these to get them graded, the biggest of the goats as I define them, not as anybody else does, as I define them to be.
Yep, right.
Yeah, I did show a Bono before. I saw one Kurt Cobain on Com C, an American Pie car. That's kind of cool. Popularity equals quality. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of, right? Because
well, I think the exclamation point there, I don't remember my coding correctly, but I think that does not equal quality.
Ah, okay.
I believe it does not. I could be mistaken, David. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Got it. So Daniel makes the comment, my guess is Elvis has to be the music goat for solo artists. Now, you'll see when I show you my cards that I might not disagree with that comment.
He's in the conversation without a doubt. Like he had resonance, again, going back to resonance, right? But his stretch, if you think. So in the 1950s, when he built up into his apex, and then by the 1970s, he died. So he had this, but during his run, his apex, undeniable that he was like the top dude at that time.
For sure. Oh, he revolutionized rock. He revolutionized it, started. He's the first guy to move when he sang. Yeah. Sharpshooter, I've learned not to follow trends. Fads usually fade. Music, Marvel, Top Shot, or trends. Okay. I mean, time will tell. Not for me. It's not music.
Well, one thing that helps with music is that sometimes it's cyclical because sometimes you'll have inspiration that will come back and a trend will come back in. Maybe a new artist will incorporate some of the style and then people will think back to the original. So there are times they can be self-referential, the music genre.
What I don't like about this comment is that he's got music, Marvel, and Top Shot all together. Top Shot is something brand new. Marvel's been around for decades. Music's been around for centuries. Not really the right bucket to put them in together, in my opinion. JW, thoughts on 2021 being the start of a new Junk Wax era? Opinion, disagree, completely disagree. But I don't want to get into that right now.
I would say it's just a mathematical improbability. I would really take the math. The math says it can't be.
We will never repeat what happened in the 90s because everything about the world is different. The hobby landscape is completely different than it was in the early 90s. So I just do not think so. I think there's too many reasons there why it won't be. What do we have? It was rumored that ABBA turned down an offer of $1 billion to reunite for a world tour. Led Zeppelin did turn down an offer. David Hasselhoff rated rookie cards. Oh, you're correct on the not does not equal. Appreciate that, Dave. The clarity.
Remember that. Thank
Frank Sinatra rookie card money. So that's the end of the comments. I'm going to show some of these now, just so you guys can see what I'm talking about and what I've picked up. And you like them, you don't like them. You go out and buy them. You think I'm crazy. I don't care any of that. If you like them, I'm kind of, you know, that makes me feel good because, you know, it's just nice to be, to have like-minded people around you. So I'm good with that. If you don't like them, that's fine too. I'll be able to buy them better. You won't be competing with me to buy them. So this is in no real order, but I'm going to just do a quick little ordering here. So I'm going to start with non-music cards. I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got 5 cards, 6 of the same person, and then a 7th that is kind of in the same grouping because these are women. So I'm going to show these cards. I'm going to do them I'll go from newest to oldest. So we're just going to put these in order quickly. And there we go. So newest card. I love this card. I just think, like, I don't know, call me crazy, guys, and maybe you will. That's fine. Put it in the comments. I don't care. Let's hear it. 1963 Dutch gum Marilyn Monroe Star Builder D hand cut. So the back is blank, as you can see. Nothing on the back. But you'll see I've got a bunch of Marilyn cards I bought because to me, Marilyn Monroe is worthy. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all my Marilyn Monroe cards and I'm going to like put them like a circle and I'm going to put my Joe DiMaggio rookie card right in the middle and just take a picture. I think that'll be really cool. But there's Marilyn Monroe card number 1, 1963. Second Marilyn Monroe, 1962 Dutch Series N hand cut in a PSA 3, which I don't see anything wrong with the card, so I'm not sure why it's only a 3, but whatever. The color, the outfit, the pose, it just takes me back. Not that I was around then, but, you know, Marilyn Monroe, someone I've known about my whole life and always, you know, if you have an issue of Playboy number 1, she's on the cover. There's another 1962 Marilyn Monroe Star Builder B. Nice card. Looks good with the other ones. More of just the portrait, but she looks very pretty. I mean, nothing wrong with that. This one reminds me of a Warhol painting, 1958. The Dutch XNR set. Now, I haven't done a lot of research into what these sets are, the full checklist, but you'll notice that there's, you know, if you do go on eBay and search, you'll see a lot of just the celebrities of the day. And then the last Marilyn card. Now, this is kind of funny. I was getting a little crazy. I actually bought 2 of the same card. One's a PSA 6 and one's a PSA 4, but a PSA 6. This is the 1957 Dutch Studio Set 2. And this is unnumbered auto blah, blah, something, something PSA 6. So those are the Marilyn Monroe cards that I picked up. I think they're all just awesome. I'm really enjoying them. What else can I say? And then I picked up a 1952 Dutch gum cards, a set hand cut of Sophia Loren. There's a bunch of Sophia Loren cards out there, but this is the one that I just liked the most. And I thought it was nice. And, you know, these cards aren't expensive. So it's like, okay, sure. Give me a Sophia Loren, you know, historical figure. So that's it for the Sophia Lorenz and the Marilyn Monroe's. A couple of comments have come in, so we're going to take a quick look. Chris says, I think the only thing that worries me about people staying in the hobby right now is the pricing of boxes. Fair enough. Tim, do you have any Beatles stuff, Jeremy? I do. They're coming up shortly here. Chris says, looking at Three Stooges card. Yeah, so Three Stooges is like a non-sport set that's been very popular among sports cards collectors for a long time. The Curly card, very, very valuable card. Yep. Dave says, got some 1920s entertainment cards for you, Jeremy. Sounds good, Dave. Let me see them.
And the tobacco card, Larry, there was a whole genre of those. In the
Larry Moore and Curly, right?
No, I mean, he's saying from the 1920s there, the entertainment cards. In the tobacco era, they had entire tobacco subsets for entertainment.
Lots.
Actors and actresses of the day, tons.
Yeah, I've been looking at Shirley Temple cards, Gary Cooper's. Like, there's all sorts. I've been. It's a rabbit hole if once you start going down it.
That's right.
Daniel Busby, I found a 1970 Mr. Soft. Yeah, I like the Mr. Softies. Led Zeppelin PSA 9 for $36. Like, yeah, that's like
seems good.
the price of a dinner behind the tanks. Those cards look like some of the lesser collected food issue baseball cards of the 1910s. Yeah, they look a lot like the pre-war cards, the shape, the dimensions of them, all that stuff. Triple V says the Batman 1966 set is one of my favorite. Yeah, especially the Black Bat set. I was collecting the Batman card about 8 years ago. I had about three copies of it. Sold them all too soon. Too soon. Rudolph. Yeah, I've been looking at Rudolph Valentino's, Charlie Chaplin's. There's even a cool card of what's his name? Houdini. There's a really cool Houdini card out there on eBay right now that I've been. The guy wants like $1,200. I'm just not at $1,200 on it, but it's pretty cool. Nat King Cole. Yeah, I mean, Nat King Cole's a legend too. Okay, more cards. So now we're going to get into Elvis Presley. And I went on a bit of a binge with Elvis because I recognize that, you know, Elvis is a goat of music, a legend, will never go away. And he had a lot of cards, and the guy had a lot of cards in him. So this is the Elvis stack right here. So I'll go through them quickly. 61, 62s. So I've got from 3 years, all these cards are either from 1959, 1960, or 1961. So we'll start oldest to newest this time. The first one, this is such a cool card. Now, it's not a portrait or a picture. It's an art card, but it's 1959 W. Shipton Series 1. So there's a lot of Shipton cards. They're not all music, but this is the Elvis PSA 8. Really neat looking card. I mean, again, it's not your typical, and it has a back to it. It actually has a Trojan Gen card. So I like when there's a back to it. There's that card. 1959 Dutch B blue text hand cut. This is a PSA 8. Elvis Presley. And I love that he's, you know, he's in concert playing the guitar. Just a good image. I don't know. I look at these. It just makes me happy. 1961 Dutch Series X hand cut. Elvis in his army uniform. So when I talked to my guy, Dave, who sold me these, he mentioned to me that, you know, so what you're looking for with Elvis is army uniform and playing the guitar. That's what the collectors want. That was news to me. I didn't know. I didn't necessarily want that, but it was a bit of insight. So I picked up a few. This I love. It must be a shot from a film he was in, 1961, Dutch Series X hand cut. But he's in like a knife fight. Like, look at
probably from a movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because he was doing a bunch of movies around then.
Yeah.
I'd be curious, it wouldn't be that era, but I'd be curious if there were any cards released around the time he did that comeback TV special. Because there was a comeback TV special where he had specific, he wore a specific like outfit for it. That was like the only time he ever did that. And it was on TV and it was his comeback special thing.
Yeah. Dex Flow, I have this Kiss card right here. PSA 8 from 1977, Monty Gum Punk set. Now Kiss has, I think, four cards in the series, and someone on Instagram showed one off a few weeks ago, and I made a comment. I said, oh, I have another card from that set in the PSA 8. I said, I'll show it to you. So I put it in my Instagram story, and I said, I made the caption, here's the card I was telling you about, whatever his username was. And he's like, oh, I need that one. I said, yeah, well, it's not for sale, but you know, I hope you find one yourself. Kind of neat. Next Elvis card, 1961 Dutch H hand cut. This is a PSA 1.5. Rounded corners, you know, definitely been loved, which I think is really cool, but just a neat army photo of him. I thought, I don't know, it captures a moment in time to me. Really cool. These next four, I don't, you know, there's just something about them. I can't even articulate what it is. I don't love them. It's just something about the quality of the card itself, but they're still kind of, the images are nice. 62 Elvis, Dutch Series N, PSA 6, hand cut. Still nice colors, a nice sharp image.
Okay.
Here he is in army uniform and playing guitar, 1962, PSA 8. Another one, similar card, 1962, PSA 5, hand cut, Dutch Series N. That's a dark green background. Another green background, 1962, must be the same set, more of a portrait. Still kind of cool. And then the last Elvis card is a 1962 Dutch Series N. This is also, must be a scene from a film, because it's like he's walking out of a bar. He's got a beer in hand. There's a couple dancing up in behind him there. Pretty neat. Just neat stuff. So there we are. We're halfway through, and we still got lots of good stuff to come. Just see if there's any new comments that have come in here, guys. AZ says, I like movie cards with sports players, promo cards, basically. Shaq, Kazam. Yeah, I hear it. I hear it. Hockey guy, there's a ton of different Kiss cards. I'm waiting for Jeremy to show the Milli Vanilli. Tim says, I actually like rounded corners on older cards sometimes. It just adds character for me. Me too. Me too, Tim. I agree. I like a card to not, if a card is from the 50s, I don't want it to look like it was just printed and pack pulled today. But I also want it to be as in high grade as it can be. Quick story. I had two copies of the 1953 Jean Beliveau rookie card. I had a PSA 5 that I've had for a very long time and a PSA 7. And I was like, the 7, it looked too nice. The borders were too white. The corners were too sharp. And the 5 is like exactly what you want from the 50s. And I decided I was going to sell one of them. Which one do I sell? I sold the 7. I kept the 5 for myself. And I'm just happier with it. It looked, the 5 is just, it's the card I wanted. Collect what you like. Buy the card, not the grade. All these things come into play with me for me. And in that case, I sold the 7. Put the money towards something else. Hobby-wise, definitely. So I'm with you on that, Tim. 100% with you on that. Mike Zier says, so do you collect trimmed cards? I kid. I don't go out and collect trimmed cards, but I will, you know, the one trimmed card I would own would be, and I think Carlos has one, the exact card. I would own you have the 54 Topps Gordie Howe.
Yeah.
I would love a 52 Topps Mickey Mantle in a PSA authentic holder with nice sharp trimmed edges, nice sharp trimmed corners, and a nice image, a nice surface.
In this market, that would still be a pretty penny. I think a lot of other people would take it too if it's graded and labeled as such.
Exactly. That's the key right there. I only want trimmed cards in my collection if they are slabbed as such. Either it says authentic trimmed or just says authentic. As long as it's slabbed and I don't ever need to worry about it being passed off out of my collection to somebody else unknowingly, I'm happy to own it. I don't own any trimmed cards right now, although I do have I bought a Rod Gretzky at a card show a couple years ago. I believe it's trimmed. I just sent it to PSA and I said on the form, I think it's trimmed. I still want it slabbed. Don't send it back to me. Evidence trimming. I want it slabbed still. So I am not familiar. Oh, I think I might be familiar with the Topps. Yes, I am familiar with the Will Ferrell cards and I want one. I don't have one yet, but I want one. Daniel says those old Elvis cards were beauty. Something about vintage card colors that can't be. Yeah, the colors are still spectacular on all these cards that I bought. And I love color. I just do. Dexlo, I heard on the Gretzky rookie, you want to see rough edges or else they think it's trimmed. Well, that's that. They would be wrong. And Bobby, if he's watching, would pipe in and say the blades just weren't sharpened as often. And the staff that was in charge of cutting the cards were incentivized to stuff more sheets under those knives than they probably should have. And that's why we have that. So you're just not going to find them, Be careful when you're buying that vintage, that Gretzky rookie. If it's in a BVG holder, you know, they're not all trimmed or not, sorry, they're not all sheet cut or, you know, non-pack pulled, but some of them are. You shouldn't find those in PSA holders. Mike says, no, I mean, those cards are hand trimmed. Yes, they're hand cut. They're hand cut or they're guillotine cut. So yes, I collect. They're not hand trimmed. They were meant to be cut, just like box bottoms, you know, on Opeachy and Topps boxes from the 80s. They're meant to be hand cut. And the nice thing is that I'll show you the next subject matter, which is, well, I mean, this is a guy I grew up idolized this guy when I was young. His name is James Dean. I've got three James Dean cards. They just make a beautiful trio. They're all from two 1958s, one's 1959. They all come from the Dutch gum set. They're all hand cut, and it says hand cut right on them. So let's have a look at these ones. I'll go from my least favorite to my most favorite. My least favorite is this one. It's a PSA 7, 1959. James Dean, Series U. I love how it says Warner Brothers in the corner. Basically, you know, identifying the production company that he worked with that year or was signed to for some sort of movie deal. That's my least favorite.
Elvis, you had that as well. I think on a couple of the Elvis was 20th Century Fox.
Yeah. I didn't notice it at the time. And I just don't know what that stuff is. It looks like grain right across, right at the bottom of the image there, kind of almost like necklaces. That's what throws me off of the card, why it's my least favorite. But when I put it with these other two, I love it. My second, now this card, I passed on the first time I bought cards from David, but the second time I'm like, yeah, well, I'm going to take that James Dean because, and now I love it in hand. I just, this thing is so cool. It's a PSA 5. He's got a cigarette in his mouth. I don't know if you'll be able to see it. And just, you know, he looks a bit older, but just a awesome, awesome looking card. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, I apologize. You're not seeing these cards. You got to tune in to see them, but thanks for listening. Anyway, that's my second favorite card of James Dean. And my first favorite, this is just awesome. The color is just vibrant. And I love this card. That right there. Also 1958, Dutch gum. Series A, Germany. Again, there is a website, I think it's called moviecards.com, that has information. I haven't spent much time there yet, but I plan to. And anyway, there it is, James Dean. Those are the three James Dean cards that I've picked up.
I say the red one is my favorite just because I do like that kind of vibrant red color.
Same here. I'm going to just, and if you put them all sort of together, you know, it just looks good. I have a vision one of these years, I put up like some sort of slat wall on one of my walls and I just have covered in cards. And these are going to have a prominent position in that display.
Okay. So you want the Beckett background.
Exactly. Exactly. Sharpshooter Jeremy, is there any way you can have listings of upcoming card shows in Canada? Maybe promoters can promote events on your show. Possibility. Thank you, Sharpshooter. Mike Zier affirms. Mr. LAGN, Topps MLB 2015 comedian Will Ferrell cards. He took game action shots for every team. That's pretty cool. I only need one Will Ferrell card, but I'm a Will Ferrell fan, so I'd be up for that for sure. Tim Witzman says Topps used to do those celebrity first pitch cards. Yep. AZ Brothers says Jay-Z Topps Chrome card actually says rookie card on it, 2005. And that, I mean,
you should get Victor on that and confirm.
Those are not cheap. Jay-Z's got lots of cards out there by Topps, and they're, you know, chrome and autographed and serially numbered. Behind the tanks, the Steve Aoki first pitch card is worth like $20 now when it was 10-cent card last year. He's a hobby celebrity. Daniel, James Dean, very cool. You're right. Actors, singers is a rabbit hole. It is. It is. That background color changing is a trip. Cool.
The blue one with the lighting, the way it was, it would kind of change almost a tint.
Ah.
It's the kind of a camera trick combination. That's why when I think you said a couple of them were green, they actually look blue to me.
Right.
Maybe it's just my monitor. It's just, but then some of them, when you tilt them a little bit, the light moves a little bit. It would kind of play camera tricks.
Thank you for letting me know. Makes sense. Mr. LAGM, what are the populations of some of these? I imagine very low. Yeah, and I haven't studied them that close. And I, at the very beginning, I went and I looked. I said, how many of these are out there? Some of them, it's like under 10. Most, it's like under 20. Mm-hmm. Total pops, not just this grade. Total pop. Most are like probably in that 6 to 15 range. So they're very rare. Very rare. But I have to think they're, you know, I think there's going to be, because even David, my dealer, has told me that, you know, he's got like a couple thousand pieces at PSA. Now he does other things besides.
I was about to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the population, but yeah, they're not that expensive. They're relatively speaking, they're just not that expensive. But so
it was kind of what we talked about before, though. It's a chicken or the egg thing. That's why I asked you that question about if the PSA price had been lower, would you have sent some of those music cards in? Your answer right now is no, where previously it might have been yes.
Which, because the prices are going up, fewer are going to be submitted. So the population is somewhat controlled because of the price, the PSA prices. Now, this doesn't stop people from submitting them to BGS, SGC, CSG, HGA, KSA, MNT.
Oh, yes, KSA especially.
Yeah. Especially. But for me, I mean, I started with PSA on these. I'm probably going to stick with that as far as these cards. But you know what? If the right card comes up and it's an SGC or a BVG holder, probably any, actually, I'll probably still grab it. I'm even looking at raw cards because I just really like these things. Next round of cards. These are what I would call, you know, your godfathers of leading men, perhaps, if you will. And then we're going to get to music. So I picked up two John Wayne cards. One's from 1964. It's the only card I have from this series. It's called Super Carta. NV, I don't even know how to read it. Anyway, PSA 6 from 1964, blank back. I don't think it's a hand cut card. Nice black and white portrait style card of John Wayne. I just thought it was a handsome looking card. PSA 6. And then next up is another John Wayne. This is a 1956. Forget who it was that said it. Mike, I think, maybe someone, whoever liked the rounded corners. Was that Mike? This is a PSA 1.5 1956 John Wayne. And again, it's like I was looking through his eBay store, like, yeah, that card is so cool. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't expensive though. It, you know, let's just face it, to grade it would cost more than what I paid for this, probably. So I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. I don't care that it's 1.5. It looks cool. And it's nice to have the rounded corners. Like, the card was loved. I want cards that have been loved. They have a, it has a history to it. I also like cards that weren't loved and are in gem mint condition. I'll put that out there too. And then this is this card. This is an actor that I'm not that familiar with. My familiarity with him is mostly at this point, like, I'm familiar with him, but if you ever watch Pawn Stars, this is Rick's favorite guy. And so that's kind of part of it, but really cool. So 1963 Dutch unnumbered Steve McQueen.
Okay.
So, you know, total transparency, honesty, I maybe seen one of his movies. I think he was in that movie with, it's famous on the biker movie. Saw that many years ago, but I don't follow Steve McQueen's career very closely, but you know, I'm buying cards. It's like, yeah, give me the Steve McQueen. He's a well-known guy. This is a card that I think, if nothing else, can go up in value, and it just looks dang cool.
So I'll give you a little background because I wanted to make sure I was thinking the right guy, because I thought so. So he was the one, he was in Bullet, which is where it became famous with the car. It became associated with that. He was in Le Mans. He was a racer. And also he was the one who had, I believe, I could be mistaken, but he was the one who had the Rolex. No, not Steve McQueen. That would be a Paul Newman. Never mind. Different guy.
So speaking of Paul Newman, there was a Paul Newman card on eBay a couple days ago. It was like a PSA 8 or 9 from the 60s. I forget the set. Really nice card. Nice portrait. Beautiful card. It was $150 opening bid. And it ended in like the wee hours of the morning. And when I woke up, it was on my ended list. It had sold with like one or two bids by the same guy. Someone snagged it for $150.
Yeah. Okay. I just think a guy who has a background where he's famous for something, but then also is noted for something else. So that's why I mentioned if he's got any background with the racing movie as well, association with that car, Bullet, that car, the car in there, was a famous car. So anything that adds a little extra, it goes above and beyond the movie itself as well.
Yep. Okay. So now I'm going to get into a couple of cards. These are like whole group cards. I got two of them where you have the whole band pictured. So the first one I'm going to show you, and again, came from my same guy from David. This is 1968 Dutch unnumbered PSA 6. Now, these aren't goats by any means, but if you like the song Lola, which I've loved my whole life, I had to grab the Kinks. And I just think it's a kind of a cool pose and everything. The whole band is there. Nice card. Beautiful in hand. Really love it. I think it's super cool. So I bought a Kinks card. And then this card is so awesome too. This is from 1968, Dutch unnumbered, set 3, group 3, green background, all on the label, PSA 7, Pinball Wizard, The Who. I love this card. I just love it. I think it is so cool. So happy with that one. And when I bought it, so I was talking to David, you know, a few weeks later, he's like, that Who card you got, you could get $500 for that right now. I said, that's cool. It's not for sale, but that's pretty cool. I don't remember exactly what I paid for it, but it wasn't $500. It was probably $100 or less. So The Who. All right. Now, two more band cards. These are both Rolling Stones. This first one's kind of funny. You know, you can't make them out. You can't see their faces as well. It's kind of taken from a distance, but the whole thing, it looks like an album cover. 1966 PSA 4 Dutch unnumbered sky background. There they are hanging off a flight of stairs off the side of a building. I mean, that's just so 60s to me. Really cool Rolling Stones card. The next is also rolling. I like this card more, even though it's a horizontal. 1967, Dutch Unnumbered, The Rolling Stones, brick background. I think that is just a cool, cool card. Really like that one. All right, a few comments here. Any Frank Sinatra? No, but I've looked for sure. The Mustang Fastback.
Kinks. Probably from the Bullet movie.
Yeah, exactly. Kinks, Who? Those are goats, man. Yeah, I know Who. Yeah, to me, Who is our goats? I mean, that's a band that they're, you know, in my world, they're goats.
Such now, an lots. Annoying name, though. It makes for so many Who's on First jokes.
I know. And let's just, the word goat is obviously overused, and I'm overusing it tonight. I understand that. There's lots of goats in, to me, there's lots of goats, but how come the greatest of all time implies one? I recognize that, everybody. I recognize that, but goats is just the term we're using, and I'll probably get fed up with that term soon and stop using it. Just like the term I hate the most in the hobby, I can't stand the sound of it, is mojo. When, you know, mojo in terms of brakes.
I think it's fallen a little out of favor, which I think is fortunate. I don't recall hearing it too much anymore.
We got mojo. We got mojo. Shut up. Shut up with mojo. I don't like the sound of it. Forgot about the Kinks song. You Really Got Me. Like there's great stuff. The Stones are the best. I love the Stones. I've seen the Stones live. I saw the Steel Wheels tour. I still have my ticket stub. Like, I'm, you know, the Stones are awesome. Mr. LAGN, are you familiar with the 1995 Playboy cards? No nudity, just covers, and Trump has a card. Am familiar with those. Yes, am familiar with those. Hockey guy, not sure I'd call Kinks goats, but they were super influential. Fair comment. Ziggy Palfy is the goat. I think the way what you want to say here, hockey guy, is that Ziggy Palfy is the goat of all goats of all genres.
Yeah, a goat of goats. The goat of goats.
Goat of goats. All right. We're down to five cards left, guys. So staying on the topic of Rolling Stones. So I have that other Mick Jagger card that is still en route that I showed earlier. If it's still handy, which it is on my phone, I'll show it for anyone that came late. This card has not yet arrived. And now my eBay is frozen on me. So, let's see if I can get back to it. No, the app is just a little frozen on me. But anyway, this is the second Mick Jagger solo card. It's 1978, so it's later. It's the first time we're seeing tonight the Swedish Samlersaker brand, which I think was a chocolate bar. I think. I'm not 100%. If anyone knows, please inform me.
And if you want to have fun, listen to Joe try to pronounce it. It got really fun.
I was on the phone with Joe last night, and I was explaining to him. I said, okay, Sam, like a guy named Sam. Okay, Sam. Lar, just like Lars Eric Schubert.
Don't
Lar.
Help him. I want it to get longer every time he says it.
Saker. I say Sam Lars Saker. I don't know, but this is pretty cool. I like it because it's an in-action shot. It's an in-concert shot. You know, the arm up in the air, pointing, singing, guitar in hand, PSA 5. Just a cool looking card. We'll go nice with the other Mick Jagger I have coming. And now we are left with the Beatles, who I think are the goat of all goats when it comes to music for me. I learned guitar. I learned how to play guitar on Beatles songs.
All right.
It's just kind of who I think, you know, them and Elvis. I think them and Elvis would be the two goats of all goats as far as music goes. My opinion.
I think they popularized a lot of the music in the mid-century, because you got all these weird eras that, even in the 20th century, smack in the middle, I think they had a huge influence. I'm very comfortable in saying that. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where it became necessary, because if you go to the early part, like swing music wasn't really going to hold, big band wasn't going to hold from the previous era. So it's like you needed something, and they brought that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Ed Sullivan. I mean, it was that era. There wasn't much else to do back then for people. You know, the wars were just over. People were looking for things to do. Music, pushing the boundaries. I mean, they were.
And TV was a relatively new medium in the 50s, and Elvis came in, and he was a good guy for that. And the Beatles were a good band to show up on those TV shows, and it was a good confluence of things.
And the thing is, just to contrast the Beatles and Elvis pushed boundaries in the 50s and 60s, like Madonna did in the 80s. Whereas the Beatles, here are these four British guys, clean cut, wearing suits on stage. They didn't push the boundaries. They just brought catchy tunes and riffs and, you know, yeah. Okay. A couple comments and we'll get to the final cards here. Daniel says, any Four Seasons cards? Frankie Valli, love their music. Funny you say Frankie Valli. That's like my mom's all-time favorite artist. Hockey guy, Samlar Sandwich Saker. Yeah.
Like I said, it get longer and longer and longer. And, you know, the beauty of the sandwich in there, hockey guy knows.
Hockey guy knows. He goes on to say, Beatles are the most influential artist band so far. I agree with that. Daniel says, the Beatles are relevant every decade and every generation. Yeah, I mean, not everyone loves the Beatles, but there are people in every generation love the Beatles. There's a song out there for everybody type of thing. Sharpshooter says, Jeremy, from a dealer's perspective or prospective, what card in the hobby has had the most demand? Just curious. I'm not a good guy to ask that right now, Sharpshooter, in terms of being from a dealer's perspective, because while I do deal cards at card shows, I haven't sold anything since all of 2020, except that really at the two virtual expos, and I haven't sold much this year at all. Like I've, my consigner has sold a few cards for me here and there, but nothing much. So I don't know. I'm not out there soliciting sales, so I'm not really good at that question. So I'm just going to, I won't totally take a pass on it. I would have to think right now, you're looking at a basketball card, whether it's a Luka, a Zion, a Michael Jordan, a Kobe, a LeBron. Probably a rookie card of one of those guys is Tom Brady will be up there as well. But I'm just picking out the obvious right now.
I think the word most demand right now has flattened out. Maybe this would be a good way to say it. The thing has flattened out. It used to be a little bit more straightforward before. Right now, there's a ton of stuff that's liquid. There's a lot of stuff where if you've got it and you've got it in the condition, you can basically just flip it and sell it right now. It's basically money just transferred straight out of your hands. And there's a lot of cards that fall into that category now.
Good night, Daniel. Thank you for showing up. Yeah, it's 3 a.m. where you are. I thought you were in the Toronto area, but if you're even east of there, then yes, it is 3 a.m. 2:08 where Carlos is in the Eastern time zone.
It's 3 a.m. What? It's the time zone. It's time change. That's what he's referring to.
It just happened right
Daylight
now.
Savings. Yeah.
Oh,
we lost that. An hour. We lost an hour.
My clock is showing. When did I'm all confused right now. Should it be 11 o'clock my time? Well, why my clock showing 12:08 and I'm in the mountain time zone. Oh, there's my kids for everybody. I'm showing 12:08. That's interesting. Okay. Anyway,
I can tell you in the East time zone, it is now 3:08 a.m.
Yeah. Hockey guy. You caught me. I swore. Mr. LAGN, familiar with 1991 Rock card by Brockham? Yeah, I have packs behind me. Van Halen, Pink Floyd, Tommy Lee, Jerry Garcia. Let me grab a pack of those because the pack itself is super cool. I've got them right here. I bought these from Mike at Eastridge a few weeks ago for, I think, $1 a pack. And these are, I haven't opened them, but the pack itself is one big hologram, repeated hologram. Look at that. You can see. The pack itself is hologram. I thought they were super cool. I do have. He had opened one pack that he threw in for me, which there's a David Lee Roth. They're pretty. They're actually kind of cool. And yeah, the checklist is pretty broad, which is nice. Spring forward. Thank you, Kickdown. Triple V. I only buy Gerhard Richter originals from Sotheby's. Oh, I think that's in with her. Someone talked about digital art here. ZS420 cam. Anyone collecting digital art? I am not.
That's where the NFTs come into play.
Yeah, I saw the Keebles or Beebles that sold for 70 million or whatever it was yesterday there. That was pretty amazing. And I mean, let's face it, that was like 13 years worth of his work all put into one, all combined into one big image that somebody bought for a lot of money. I mean, kind of cool. If I had, you know, if I was a 10 billionaire, maybe I'd consider it, but I'd have to be a 10 billionaire to put that much money into a digital image. And then even then I'd be gambling on it just for fun. Hockey guy. I was looking at some boxes on eBay. They're going up in price. That must be the Rock cards by Brockham. Yeah. The Brockham. I don't collect the not for trades. Okay. I've been buying a bunch of the indie pieces. Very cool. Yeah.
I'm going to guess that's him being cute with the NFT.
Oh, NFT. There, thank you, Carlos. I wasn't sure. Okay, I got four more cards to show, and then we'll look at wrapping this thing up, perhaps, unless we keep going. Okay, four more cards, guys. All Beatles, 1967 Dutch unnumbered PSA 6, Ringo Starr on the drums. Again,
okay,
pretty cool. I'll make another comment shortly. 1967 Dutch unnumbered Paul, and I love how it just says Paul. It's clearly Paul McCartney in performing on the guitar, but it says just Paul on the card, so that's what they put up top on the label. But still, pretty cool card. Really, actually, really like it. And then these are, I love both of these John Lennons. So these are both just John Lennons. Both, I'll show them. I'm going to show them together, and then maybe because they just look so cool together. Like different cards. One's from 1968. One's from 1965. This is the PSA 5, PSA 7. I don't know. I love them. I just think they are everything about them. Everything about these cards. Really like them. So now I need to learn more about these Dutch unnumbered sets. How were they packaged? How were people actually cutting them? When were these cut? These could have been cut in the last few weeks for all I know, last year for all I know. And how many of these are sitting in Europe in collections of seniors that are eventually going to make their way into the marketplace? Could be none. Could be very few. Could be a ton. I don't know. But time will tell. So that is the collection of music cards. And I do have probably another 10 cards on the way. So I'll show those eventually on the show here. But yeah, those are the cards, guys. So that's what I've been really excited about lately. And there's so much out there. So I'm going to hopefully corral my expenditures here, not let it get too out of hand. But I did kind of, when I started, I said to myself, okay, I'm willing to, I'll use the word invest because I'm willing to invest into my collection X amount of money. And when I get there, we'll reevaluate. And I'm not there yet. So I've still got some room. I've still got some playroom. But once I get to that X amount of dollars, I'm going to evaluate, and hopefully I'll complete the collection. Maybe I'll keep on buying them, and maybe I'll swap out a few too. I'm going to permit myself, especially on the Elvis side of things, where I've got like 11 Elvis cards. I don't feel like I need 11 Elvis cards in my personal collection, so I may take some of them that I don't like as much and trade them, sell them, and put them into other cards within this genre. That's kind of what I'm thinking, but I'm allowing myself to be flexible with it. I'm not forcing myself to say you have to keep them. But like the three James Deans, I'm not moving those. I love them. The Marilyn Monroes, except for the one I bought two of, which was a mistake. I know where one of them's going. So I'm okay with that. And I'm going to be flexible with myself and work, evolve this sub PC or this PC, if you want to call it, into what it's eventually going to become. And that's, to me, that is hobbying. That is me hobbying my way. And I'm excited to do it. I'm excited to have this new interest within the cardboard world and to supplement and complement even my sports cards. It's something different. And these are all, for the most part, they're all very well-known celebrities with long-lasting status, which means that the investment side of it, I think, will take care of itself. Carlos, let me give my voice a break if you can say something.
I can. You were on a roll. You were having your moment. All I was going to say was that would you dare say that you're basically establishing the parameters under which you're going to curate the music part of the collection? My favorite curate. But one other thing that I'll think about is that the beauty of doing that is it doesn't mean you have to finish sets. It means you can kind of pick and choose the pieces that you like, the pieces that work out. So you pick up this batch now, maybe you swap some in some out. I'd have a little Pink Floyd in there somewhere, just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
So Pink Floyd's, I think, is a good one that I didn't see in that grouping. That would be a good addition. And I am partial to certain iterations of AC/DC that I wouldn't, a little Angus in there wouldn't hurt you.
They're both on my radar. I've got a list going of like musicians and actors, actresses that I'm kind of trying not to forget. There's so many, right? There's so many. The Doors, Jimi Hendrix. You go look at Jimi Hendrix cards. They're expensive. Mm-hmm. The Doors, Jimi Hendrix. There's a few more. I mean, it's, you know, I could bring up my list and have a look, but
I think there's a broad enough. I think there's a broad enough cross section there. The one thing I'll say about the music thing is that it is broad enough that you can really go in a variety of different directions, and especially for some of the bands that have a longer discography, they've probably had the chance to be in a bunch of sets. So if they've been around long enough, they have a better shot at being around. That's why I say AC/DC or Pink Floyd had a long enough career and enough albums where, like, they're probably in a bunch of sets.
Yeah, there probably are. Yeah. I was thinking about Clint Eastwood, very popular amongst the cardboard collectors as far as the movie actor genre goes. Sure. You look at Clint Eastwood, even a raw card from these eras, you're looking at a couple hundred bucks. Jimi Hendrix, you're not going to find a raw Jimi Hendrix, I don't think, for under like $200. So, you know, there's people collecting these things. Oh, there's one more card. Where did it go? I can't believe I didn't show it. Where is it? Ugh, I just had it here. And I have to show it because it's sort of a bit of a one-off. I must have stacked it by mistake. Oh, let me just find. Oh, there it is. So my favorite TV show from when I was a kid growing up, don't hold it against me. I've watched some episodes, you know, in the last 5 years or so, and they don't hold my attention like they did when I was coming home after school in grade 3, 4, and 5. But I had to buy it because I'm just a big fan of, this is a 1978 Swedish Samlarsaker, The Fonz.
Of course.
Henry Fonzie Winkler. And they even didn't even
get him with a leather jacket? What the heck?
I know. Henry Winkler, The Fonz, PSA 8, like, so wicked. I just love it. But he's got the Happy Days shirt on, at least. That's kind of cool.
It's fair.
Blank back. I don't know if this is hand cut or not. I don't think it is, because I think PSA would have put it on the label. But anyway, forgot to show that one before somehow. Okay.
I don't think they ever would have made a card about it, but linking the Fonz to music, Weezer had a song called Buddy Holly.
Yes.
The Buddy Holly song, it was set in the Happy Days universe.
I know. That's right. I'm a fan of Weezer. Song 7. Track 7. Can't remember the name of it right now, but track 7 on that Blue album was amazing. So, Hockey, underrated drummer. I think he's talking about Ringo. Stealth Shoe says, what do you think about buying BBCE sealed boxes? I mean, if you can afford it, I think that's a great investment. Great investment. And even a collectible if it's got a nice display box. Triple V says, George is my favorite solo artist of the bunch. Cool. No George Harrison. Yeah, so I am lacking a George Harrison. When I went over to another buddy of mine a couple nights ago, and I took all these with me, we laid them out on his table. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't pick up a George Harrison, but we're looking. I'm like, I need one now because I've got single cards of all the other guys. So yeah, I am in the market for a George Harrison for sure. Yeah, stealth as investments. I think BBCE is the way to go. I've bought cards. Steve Hart is the owner of BBCE, Baseball Card Exchange, I think it's called. I bought lots of stuff from him over the years at the National. Really good guy to deal with. Mr. LAGN, look into Musician 3LAU. He released an album along with NFTs that includes exclusive access to him and lifetime backstage passes. Very interesting. I got to say, I hear it. It sounds cool, but certainly not for me with what I'm doing here. I want the vintage stuff mostly. And by vintage, I mean like the 50s, 60s, even back to the 20s and 30s. And there are some 20s and 30s cards. I have a Walt Disney card on the way, which is really cool too, from 1931, I think it is.
Okay.
Really cool card. Sharpshooter says a lot of digital art is ugly AF. People are just throwing away money. That's your opinion, but you're entitled to it for sure. And I don't have an opinion on digital art. I haven't really seen any, to be honest. So
I will say one thing that will probably hurt, and this is actually just a general thing for folks, when it comes to the whole NFTs and digital art, whatever, one of the problems I see going forward potentially is that for 50 bucks, I can show you how to make an NFT of anything digitally that you want, which is the problem being, we could literally take a screenshot of this and make it into an NFT piece
yeah.
for about 50 bucks, which means it's not that hard to make.
That's my understanding as well. Anybody can put out an NFT for anything. I was listening on a conversation on Clubhouse the other night, and this lady was talking about her recipes. I don't know how I got to talk about recipes, but it was a topic. Anyway, she was talking about her recipes. I got this recipe for this or that. I'm going to make it into an NFT. And I was like, what? Really? Okay. What? Because I don't understand that. Really, what's the benefit of that? But I'm willing to understand it. I recognize that she probably knows what she's talking about or has an idea. I just don't understand what the benefit of an NFT on a recipe would be. But perhaps there is a benefit to that. We got to end this soon, Carl. So I'm going to rip through some of these comments here. Yep. AZ says the concept or thought process behind these cards is awesome. If you're talking about the cards I was showing, I agree, and I love it too. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Yeah, LAGN, thank you so much. Thumbs up on the video, guys. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, please give me a subscription. I'd appreciate that. ACDC is in Brokum set, I believe. I have to think they would be.
Nice.
Sharpshooter, here's a tip. Buy anything cartoon-related, especially Flintstones and Simpsons. I think you got a point there. There are Flintstones kids that go way back, like to the pre-war times, at least the 50s. Flintstones piano episode is one of my favorite all time. Any TV series, very cool. Daniel says you can pick up a 1970s Artemis Piles Topps Auto for $40. Cool. Goat Show theme song. I'd rather chase old concert ticket stubs, Jeremy. I'm happy for you, Sharpshooter. Have at her, man. Have at her. Whatever makes you happy, whatever floats your boat. So what? Yep. Anyone can make a card too.
That's in reference to the NFTs that anybody can make the NFT, which is, here's the thing, real quick, it is a valid point, a valid argument. The thing it's going to be is a differentiator between people who like the tangibility of the card, in this case, because to your point, yes, anybody can make a card, whether you want it or not is a different thing, because if it's from a manufacturer, maybe you want it more. That kind of plays into this as well. So true, but if you just randomly make a card, maybe nobody wants it. An NFT, though, is literally a file. Like, blockchain element is a piece of it, but at the end of the day, we're still talking about a file.
Yeah. A file. Is that what you said, a file?
It is, really, because an NFT, at the end of the day, is this combination of data points. It's really just creating it and associating. The blockchain gives it a uniqueness. NFT is non-fungible. We won't have to rehash all that, but the point is, at the end of the day, we're still talking digital assets. It is a digital asset. That's all it is.
Exactly. And there's a market for them, obviously. And it seems to be something that is new for all of us. So there's a lot of skeptics. But you know, I'm not as much of a skeptic as I am just somebody who's interested. I understand there must be something there. I just don't know exactly what it is. So I want to learn about it. Not like I'm going to go take a deep dive into it tonight or tomorrow, but I'm curious.
I think the point that they made earlier about the different is I think we're exploring the applications of it. I think a lot of those things, like that person associating it to concerts and, you know, access and all that, attaching it to that, dibs attaching it to physical cards and using it for the trading piece. We're playing around with different ways of using an NFT and the applications. That's what's happening right now.
That makes sense to me. Yep. And I'm curious to see how that all plays out.
Yeah.
But as far as being, you know, I'm not skeptical. I'm curious. And I think a lot of people are just skeptical, but a lot of skepticism comes from a lack of understanding. So I always suggest learn about it and then, you know, understand what's behind it. But the comment that people like to make right now is, why would I buy a Top Shot when I can go watch the clip on YouTube? That's a very ignorant comment because there's much more to it than just that. So learn about it. And then if you still don't like it, you're still skeptical, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's legit. I just encourage people to learn before you throw out skeptical comments that really exude ignorance towards the topic. Thank you for that, Zed. I appreciate the offer to holler at you if we're interested. Yeah, it is interesting for sure. Hockey guy, wonder if there's any Stevie Ray Vaughan cards. I think I've seen some. Mr. LAGN, in the future, they will have to create displays for NFTs to gain traction. Now, I like that comment a lot because what I see there is the tombstone type of representation, which I'm seeing in the fractional ownership world, where if you buy a piece of the Mickey Mantle from one of the fractional ownership investment companies, they will send you something. I don't know what it is, a statue, a figurine, an award-looking tombstone type of thing that you can display, and it represents your ownership in that fractional unit or an NFT. I think that, and then I can see those tombstone type things becoming collectible themselves, which is pretty neat, especially if they look cool.
Could be. I think you can create something that's a value add that you can associate it to it to give the people the tangibility if that's what they want.
So. And that's really, you know, you said it before, Carlos, intangible, tangible.
Yeah.
So many of us are tangible oriented. I know I am. I'm not to say I won't dabble in NFTs or Top Shot. I'm willing to dabble just for fun. But when it comes down to it, it's not going to take money away from my sports card or now entertainment card addiction. Those are entrenched in me. They're in my core for myself. Bingo. Thank you for agreeing with something we said before. Sharpshooter Jeremy, ever thought of holding a YouTube auction? It's the next big thing. Auction for what? I know my buddy Jason out of Player's Choice in Kelowna, he does auctions on his YouTube channel at least once a week, maybe more. I've seen some other ones. I saw the guys, Carlos, what do they call them? Baseball Collector is part of that group.
Oh, yeah, he did an online auction specifically to sell some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw they did one just like earlier this week. Him and another guy were on. They were auctioning cards, which I thought was pretty cool. The only problem with it was if you only joined in like after they showed the card for 5 seconds at the beginning, you didn't know what card it was. So, but yeah, I think it's a cool idea, Sharpshooter. Would I do it with my own cards? I don't know. Too risky. I don't know that my audience is big enough where I would be confident that I would get the top bid that I'm looking for. So I don't know that I would do it. But what I did before, if you check out episode 7 of Sports Cards Live, I had like 10 guys on and we took turns showing cards that were for sale. It was a pretty cool show. I might be more inclined to do that, but you know, possibly Sharpshooter, possibly.
I think you could do it as a selling showcase, not the center of that concept, because you could still have, because it could still be a show where you're doing stuff, but at the same time, you're showing cards. And be like, okay, here's some cards. And you know what? Send me a message at this.
Right.
And it leaves the door open so that there isn't bidding happening in real time, because you can do it, but then you need help. You basically need somebody in the chat observing to help you. Otherwise, you're trying to watch too many things at the same time. It gets very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, Sharpshooter. I haven't thought about the auction side, but I've definitely thought about doing another one of those showcase episodes where, like Carlos was sort of mentioning, where, you know, just bring in a group of guys and we each take, you know, give us 2 to 3 minute slots and show off some cards you have for sale. Maybe something to do like before the next real expo or national, something like that. But we'll see. All right, guys. I think that's going to be it. Carlos, anything before we sign off for the evening?
No, I just thought I'd pop in and hang out, have some fun, check out some of the stuff.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you for keeping me company. It's always more fun to have someone with you on the screen, I find anyway. So I do appreciate you coming on and along for the ride with me. So to everybody else, I think that's going to be it for tonight. Thank you for joining. Thank you, Zed. Appreciate it. If you're new, guys, if you got here, you're not subscribed yet to my YouTube channel, please do subscribe to it. Check out Carlos's YouTube channel. It is called Because I'm Carlos. He has his own. That's awesome. Zed, I'm glad you had fun. I did too. And that's it, guys. Carlos, you just hang tight for 2 secs. Everybody else, thank you for joining. I'm going to quickly throw up next week, next Saturday, Tyler Nethercott from Market Movers is going to be talking about, he's like the data guy there. So that'll be interesting. Probably get some questions from Carlos, if you don't mind, to some ideas for that. We got Billy Celio the week after, and Tim Getch from ComC, founder and CEO, will be joining on April 3rd to talk about the challenges that they've been through and what is happening there. He did let me know there is some big news coming. It'll probably be coming before he's on the show, but we'll be talking about it then anyway. So final comments for you guys, and then we are done. Thank you, Hockey Guy, LAGN. It is 3:30 a.m. where you guys are. My clock is showing 12:30 still. It hasn't caught up over here in Alberta in the Mountain
Pine. I think it's at a certain hour when the daylight savings kicks in. And because 2 a.m. usually. I don't think that's kicked in yet. Yeah,
you're right. It's usually 2 a.m. Thank you. Foul Five Ball, appreciate that. Thank you for showing up. And Hockey Guy says April 3rd should be good. Yes. Ask them what platforms they get the data from. Talking about Market Movers. Thank you, Mr. LAGN. I will do that. Please tune in yourself. Everybody else, have a great Sunday tomorrow. Have a great week ahead. And hopefully we see you back here next week. Global, thank you so much, man. Appreciate having you. Good night, everybody. Have a great week ahead.